So, hi everybody, and welcome to another Dr. Claire's podcast. This is Dr. Claire speaking, and today I'm taking the reins because I want to explore how people understand and what the concept of autoimmune diseases are. And Katrina is going to be very brave and tell me what her understanding is. But the important thing with anything that you go to your medical herbalist with or your doctor is not whether what your ideas are right or wrong, but it's the baseline from where you start from.
Okay.
So in that way, I hope that, you know, sharing our experiences and understanding at wherever we are but might be useful to you as an audience. So here we go, Katrina.
Right. Hit me with it.
If I was to say that there's a whole range of disorders that are autoimmune diseases, what would that mean to you?
Well, the way I would think it, it's my immune system, really. Mm-hmm. And it's what's affecting my immune system, whether it be a cold, a flu.
Hold on, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to refine the question.
Right, then do that.
Do you think colds and flus are autoimmune diseases?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I think that your immune system does go down when you have a cold because mm-hmm. you're open to more infection. You're open to more viruses coming into your system.
Okay.
Which could be further down the line, whether it could maybe go into more deeper thing into your chest or into your stomach. So, yeah.
So if I was to mention conditions like rheumatoid arthritis or ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, do you think that they're autoimmune diseases? We'll just think about the word autoimmune. Autoimmune. Auto meaning self or automatic.
Say them again.
Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, rheumatoid arthritis, psoriasis. Yeah, multiple sclerosis. Okay.
Okay, that's enough.
That's enough. That's enough big words. Just from your friends and acquaintances and cousins and
family and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Mm. Maybe. Yeah, probably more than likely, yes. Yeah,
it's ringing bells.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So if somebody, I differentiate there, the viruses and bacteria and fungi and all the other fungi out there, they come from outside.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're talking about immune conditions like the ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, rheumatoid arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, there's hundreds of them. They're getting longer and longer by the day, right? They are autoimmune. And the difference is that the immune system is responding to our own proteins inside the body.
Right.
Okay.
No, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Starting to understand there.
Now, there's always an and a but with medicine because people think that medicine has direct answers, whether it's herbal medicine or pharmaceutical medicine, because some microbes are implicated in some of the rheumatoid diseases, in some of the autoimmune diseases, by which I specifically would be referring to rheumatoid arthritis. It's uncontested, right? It's not controversial. Okay, so that's a big learning curve already, isn't it?
Massive.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if you just, because you're representing the person out there in the street.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody, if your cousin is in with the doctor and the doctor says, well, I'm afraid you have an autoimmune disease, do you think that's a light matter that will resolve itself in a matter of weeks or months? Or do you think it's more serious or would require strong treatment?
Okay, so from my understanding, it would be at the beginning, maybe not so strong, not a big deal, but it does need to be treated to get your system back functioning properly. However, if it goes undertreated and you forget about it, then you could get sick very quickly and very seriously from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, well, I do think it should be treated.
Yeah.
And it's important to look after your immune system.
And if do you think that people would be going, oh, gosh, I must go and see my herbalist now because I've got an autoimmune disease?
No. No.
All right. I think you represent pretty much a lot of people out there. And all of what you say is true.
Okay.
Except in different proportions.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean? So you can get a massive, serious systemic presentation that ends you up in hospital, even in ICU, or, you know, with severe bleeding, for instance, from ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease. Or it could be that you get grumbly joints, pains that flit from place to place, and there's a bit of swelling, and oh, then it settles, and you go, oh, I should get that checked out. And when you do go and checked out, lo and behold, you have all of the markers for rheumatoid arthritis. The same with psoriasis. Some people have a little bit of scaly elbows and knees, and the rest of them is fine. Some people can be covered head to toe and need, you know, get severe interventions. With both pharmaceutical medicine, but I'm going to be describing a role for herbal medicine as a collaborative practice. What I'll do is just also mention, I'm not going to give people any figures, because the minute I look at figures, I get scared and I switch off when I see all these big figures, and I'm a doctor, right?
Great.
There has been a pandemic of autoimmune diseases over the last 20, 25 years. I've been in practice now for 40 plus years, but particularly over the last 25 years. And it's affecting all ages, but especially children. Like when I first started practicing medicine, it was extremely rare to have children with inflammatory bowel disease due to autoimmunity. So, and there's new ones being described kind of on a regular basis, right?
Can I make a point, not a point or a question about that? Do you think that, okay, when I was growing up as a child in the garden out playing with leaves and muck and everything and running around, that would have built up my immune system as a child? Obviously now, with the way kids are so indoors all the time and everything's changed,
yeah,
for them digitally, in that they don't spend as much time as they should be outside.
I would formulate a probability, right? But there's so many factors involved. There's been a massive increase in cesarean sections. There has been massive overuse of antibiotics. There has been less safe exposure, before anybody shoots me, of sunshine. You know, where children are being covered up to a point that they don't have optimum levels. They won't get rickets, because you need a very small amount of vitamin D to prevent rickets, which is a deficiency due to vitamin D, but they're not getting optimum for their immune system. And there's smaller families.
Yeah.
You know, we used to bring every snotty, mucousy, chesty condition home. I'm one of 11.
Right? 11.
So, and I think there's so many different food, you know, I think the sugar in the food and the ultra processing, the environmental chemicals, and I'll come through to all of those. So it's very hard to isolate one thing, but there's growing evidence that allergic immune conditions are particularly affected. That's a different aspect of the immune system. So I'm going to get a bit technical.
Okay, go ahead. So,
what I want you to do, as soon as you lose track of what I'm saying, I want you to intervene on behalf of the person on the street.
Okay, come back there a bit.
Come back there. Hold your horses. All right. So that's the first point to make, is that this is not a small condition. It's not being noticed because all of these people are going to different specialists. The psoriasis people are going to the skin specialist, the inflammatory bowel, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease are going to the gastroenterologist, people with endocrine hormone autoimmune conditions are going to the endocrinologist. The type 1 diabetes is probably related to autoimmunity as well, and they're going to the diabetologists. So they're all going to different sections of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody is adding up all the... You know, there was a big thing with cardiovascular disease that, oh, it's the major killer, it's the major presentation, it's going up, we have to do something. That's not happening with the autoimmune conditions, because nobody is adding up the different presentations.
Right, okay.
And hospitalizations. So that's a big one. So in essence, with autoimmune disease, the body reacts to its own proteins. The body's immune system sees our own proteins and goes, we've got to take them out.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to take them down, right? So they engulf them, they scavenge them, they create antibodies to them, which we're all familiar with after COVID, right? They create this inflammatory response where we have all these cytokines. We react to our own tissues. Why one person gets a bowel disease and another person gets a skin presentation or an endocrine presentation, they're all mysteries. This is why I love medicine, any kind of medicine. It's just full of mysteries. I play Miss Marple in my head, right? So you can ask, why are we reacting to our own proteins? We didn't do it to this extent ever before in history, ever. This is really a phenomenon of the 20th century growing and taking off on steroids, right, for the 21st century. So it causes an inflammatory reaction. Pharmacological therapy is aimed at suppressing this inflammatory reaction. So you go to your doctor, and if you have rip-roaring joint disease, absolutely stamp on that inflammation, because it causes destructive damage. And once tissues are destroyed, it's very hard to win back any gain.
No.
Doctors would say impossible. I would say extremely difficult, right? We always have one of the big differences between the kind of doctoring I was trained in and the kind of medicine I use as herbal medicine is that I believe that I actually have a trust that the body has a way of healing itself, right? And it has a very primal and strong force for actually healing. So the first step in healing is always to stop the damage, right?
Okay.
So if you have a rip-roaring autoimmune reaction, which is destroying tissue, absolutely you need collaborative care, you need the anti-inflammatories, and you need to stop that inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do? Are you going to take those for the rest of your life?
No.
And do they have side effects?
Yeah.
So any way of helping the body to either recognize less strongly and therefore have a less strong inflammation.
Right.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes, it sounds interesting.
So it makes sense to work out why this destructive pathway. So huge emphasis in herbal medicine on where were you, what was happening in your life when this event took place.
Okay. That's a bit scared me a bit.
Okay. So so what you're doing is you're going, whatever those conditions were, you want to ameliorate them as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you're overworking, you need to address your work-life balance. If you're not exercising, you need to exercise. If you're not eating good food, you need to eat good food. It's not rocket science.
Yeah.
Right. But it's crucial. Right. Now, remember, the vast majority of people present with autoimmune conditions on the mild to moderate scale.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's a vast number of patients who would, from the very get-go, have a likely very good response to treating this in a variety of ways. So one of the things you might want to do is have some massage. You might want to walk on the beach with your shoes off. Anything that calms down the whole nervous system, and supports the immune reaction. So this isn't only about herbal medicine. This is just about medicine.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, so the several directions that's causing damage for mucous membranes and the junctions between the cells lining the digestion, because you're thinking, are there new things that are coming in, new proteins,
mm-hmm.
that are very similar to ours?
Right.
And the body goes, oh, which one is ours and which one is the new one coming in?
Right.
That's a huge one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Another possibility is that you brought up was, what if you have an infection?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the metabolites from the infection
mm-hmm.
is very similar to one of our own tissues.
Mm-hmm.
And that can even be a delayed response.
Right.
Our bodies remember everything. Okay. But if you're thinking about a new protein coming into the body, where's the obvious place? It might not be obvious to you. It's obvious to me, but I'll ask you anyway. Don't worry if you don't know. But if you're talking about interacting with the world,
mm-hmm.
where is the world coming into inside of us?
Obviously through our mouths.
Yes.
Yeah.
I blame the elbow. So is it possible that underlying these autoimmune conditions, there is a less than optimal functioning of the digestive tract?
Possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, you're dead right. So
there might be damage to the mucous membranes. There might be a little bit of less sticky pads between the cells that line the digestive tract.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So there's the cells, the top of, that's nearest the inside of the digestion has a mucous membrane that produces mucus like our noses do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then the junction between the cells lining the gut can be a little bit not as sticky.
Mm-hmm.
So proteins can go between the cells or they can cross a damaged mucosal membrane.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get into the tissues. Mm-mm-mm, we don't like that.
Right.
That's not a good idea. Okay. So things that can cause that kind of damage, you've touched on some of them, environmental pollutions, mm-hmm. pollutants in the air and pollutants in the food. You know, there's a campaign in America to take the ultra-processing food companies to account for the fact that they are not nutritious. Food is intended to be nutritious. Mm-hmm. Food is life. Food is energy, right? So you can't separate health from your food. Alteration of the food so that it has a novel effect on the mucosal lining, which is the processing, the microwaving. Nobody tested to see whether microwaving food makes any difference to how it's absorbed.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And any more than social media. They invented it. They introduced it. Does it cause... Is it the same? Is it different? Does it cause harm? Nobody tested that.
Okay, if you're listening to this now, my face has just been blown off me. Honestly.
Oh yeah, science invents things, introduces them, and then goes, oops, 20 years later. Which mm-hmm. is what's happening with the web. You know, suddenly, you say, our children are glued to it and families are
yeah.
torn apart by who can, you know, have a phone and the phone is being used as... Anyway, that's a whole other debate. Anyway.
Yes.
So alteration of the food so that you're eating your broccoli, but it's been prepared differently. And different ways of food preparation have always had an effect on their body. Like eating charred barbecued meat increases cancer. But not an occasional barbecue, but if you're always eating barbecued meat, eating ultra-processed meat is also related to cancer. Eating good steak or mince,
mm-hmm.
full-fat mince, is not associated, right? So you get all of these ands and buts. You see, it's all...
Yeah.
There can be a change in a hormonal environment within the body. Many women now are experiencing very stressful menopauses, and that's also a time when autoimmune conditions present at a much higher frequency, mm-hmm. particularly thyroid disease. So stress from within the body, it's like the children at Christmas, you know, any kind of change, any excitement, any disturbance can be a catalyst for autoimmune disease.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I put is congestion in the tissues lining the mucosal barrier. So, or lining the cells in the digestive tract. So 60% plus of the immune system is in the gut. So this is another reason why this is where the external things can cause confusion for the body. So if that congestion of lymph is not distributing stuff properly, that again can be a stress from within the body. And that's where belly dancing comes in. And walking up and down stairs.
Okay.
And doing your proper breathing. These are all ways of draining the lymph mm-hmm. in the abdominal system, because you can't take your belly for a walk. You know, you can't lift dumbbells with your belly. Mm-hmm. You have to exercise.
I try.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So improving the lymph drainage or kind of saying that this can be a problem. Congestion in any tissues can be a problem, but particularly in the digestive tract. Or changes to the collagen strength or other factors in the extracellular space.
Yeah.
Between every cell in the body, there's an extracellular space and it's lined with collagen. And that gets weaker as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
And autoimmune diseases are much more common in the 45 plus age. So it can be a change in the extracellular space, in the integrity of it. And that's another reason for all kinds of exercise being important. So how would we change some of that if you went to a herbalist?
How would we change?
What do you think the herbalist would say?
Well,
there's just one thing I'm thinking. What's the first one thing we said that made a difference?
Oh, your mouth, yeah.
Yeah.
Eating.
Yeah.
Eating.
So eat organic food.
Yeah.
All right. Or as close to it as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're looking, again, everything has controversies.
right? But you're eating the best food from your garden, including a windowsill, food from locally sourced farmers that don't add a lot of pesticides, mm-hmm. right? They might use a bit of fertilizer, but they don't use pesticides or whatever. So you're getting it as clean as possible, if you like, from an environmental point of view. You buy organic chicken in particular mm-hmm. and pork in particular. Now, for me, that's a lot mixed up with welfare issues as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, do we really want factory battery-raised chickens that are raised in such stressful environments?
Yeah.
Do you really think it's that all of that stress hormones aren't in the tissues of the animals? You know, now I've not looked at what cooking does to it, but my gut feeling,
mm-hmm.
it's so free range as much as possible, organic if possible. So the best food that you can find
mm-hmm.
and the best food on a budget. My patients end up spending less in the supermarket for food because they're buying sardines and the vegetables on special offer, and they're eating things whether they like them or not. This is the trick to healthy eating.
Mm-hmm.
You eat food that you don't like because you're not going to overeat it. And you walk, not for the exercise, but because while you're walking, you're more likely to be not eating. That's the biggest effect of walking.
I love that.
Yeah. Okay. Maintaining hydration. Most people live indoors with central heating, and they're in front of computers, and they're just not getting enough water. And Kat will verify that I've had a drink of water this morning, and there's another one here.
Okay. I drink my coffee.
There you go. maintaining hydration. So important and free. So strengthening and nourishing the tissues involved. So that's the tins of sardines. That's the oily fish and the calcium that you get in it. Yes, people can say sardines are better, but I don't live in the Mediterranean. So there you go. And it's the least toxic in terms of sea toxins. The sardines as compared to mackerel, then salmon, then tuna, and then
yuck. Yeah.
Okay, so sardines are it, right, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Creating happy hormones, you know, so cuddling, smelling babies, preferably other people's.
Hugging trees.
Yes, if you see people down in the woods and they're hugging trees, they probably know me. I probably sent them, or it might even be me, all right. So all of those things, walking on the sand, walking on grass, these are very, very basic physical ways of recalibrating for your immune system and connectivity to the environment. We call this the terrain. Modern medicine calls it the psychoneuroimmunohumoral axis.
Now,
don't ask me to spell that. All right. Whereas we call it the terrain. Decongesting the extracellular matrix and improving the condition of structural elements forming the extracellular matrix and increasing lymph drainage. Increasing lymph drainage is exercise, and especially over the head and pumping the arms.
Yes.
Right. And this gets the heart, particularly for cardiovascular
disease. Right.
I'm sure you could tell me more about that. It's all very important.
It is very important.
Okay. So that's all. There's some of the things that we teach people about.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing. Making sure you walk downstairs as well as upstairs, doing strengthening exercises, flexing, hydrating, and eating good food. I'll particularly mention fiber as well as sardines. By the time people are finished hearing my podcasts, they will be going, oh, here she is about the sardines again.
Yeah, right. Fiber.
No, sardines is the oil and the calcium.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah.
I do know that fiber seems to be, we don't take enough fiber in.
No. And in the supermarket, you buy the oat bran. And in the health food shop, you buy the psyllium husks.
Mm.
That's P-S-Y-L-L-I-U-M. Or as some of my patients says, the silly husks.
The silly husks.
Okay. Now, all my patients with autoimmune disease, I absolutely emphasize a gluten-free diet.
Okay.
And that's not because they're celiac.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of a food intolerance. It's not because of an allergy. It's because gliadin, and especially wheat is the richest source of gliadin, there's the sticky pads between the cells of the digestive tract. are loosened, right? Like this blue tack between little spots of blue tack. And there's one particular aspect called occludens. There's also zonulin, but the occludens in particular can be loosened. And therefore, you can get these larger chemicals going across the between the cells. Okay.
Okay.
So for that reason, in particular, I say to people, this is really important. So,
okay.
So this is even before I get onto the herbs.
I know.
And we've already run out of time.
Okay.
All right. So what I might do is I might do another podcast on the herbs that I might use. So we'll do this as a part one and a part two.
Perfect. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Brilliant. We look forward to you joining us on this journey of exploration and learning with the herbal doctor, Dr. Dealish Clare. And we'll be back with you very soon. So thank you very much and stay tuned.